RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The new House Speaker Ade Kamarudin affirmed DPR's strive for better legislative work. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said, government review 2016 state revenue target. Indonesia must exploit La Nina fisheries bonus. Now the news in detail. The House of Representatives DPR will strive to improve its legislative work in 2016 to win back public trust. This was stated by the newly installed House Speaker Ade Kamarudin before the House members after being installed as a House Speaker during a plenary meeting at the House in Jakarta on Monday afternoon. He said that the string of political events throughout 2015 had wasted the energy of the House members, affecting their legislative performance. Ade Kamarudin was speaking of what he referred to as the unproductive legislative work of the House's previous leadership, during which only 3 laws and 14 open cumulative laws were produced throughout 2015. To improve this work, he said, the House will coordinate closely with the government by holding routine coordination meetings with President Joko Widodo. The government will review this year's tax revenue target after 2015 realization reached less than 82% of expectation despite reform from the Tax Taxation Office, a minister said on Monday. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that this year's tax revenue should grow by more than 10% of last year's realization. The government targets tax revenue for this year, excluding customs and excise, to reach 1,360.1 trillion rupiah, or around 28.2% higher than last year's revenue realization, and 5.1% higher than last year's target. The ministry is set to disclose the 2016 target. Head of the Fiscal Policy Office at the Finance Ministry, Suhasil Nasara, said that the target will take into account projected economic growth and tax policy breakthrough. The government's pledge to revise target has been lauded by economists who have said lower targets will allow tax officers to shift focus from one of revenue gains to more sustainable revenue growth. Indonesian fishermen should take advantage of the surplus of fish that will occur in the surrounding ocean this year because La Nina effect by sending larger fishing ships, a researcher said. El Nino weather pattern is predicted to last until February 2016 and then be replaced by La Nina. La Nina will create warm pools in the seas around Indonesia, luring fish to migrate from the Western Pacific Ocean to Indonesian waters. A fishery researcher at the Center for Policy Analysis, Wana, said in Jakarta on Monday that the big waves that always occur during La Nina would be a challenge. Fishermen would need ships with deadweight of least 30 gross tons to overcome it. In last November 5, 2015, Maritime and Perhubungan Fishery Minister Susi Pujastuti signed a memorandum of understanding for PT PAL Indonesia to be ship builder in the best phase of the project. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia needs to maintain the momentum of fishery export as it is strict measure against illegal fishing contributed to an increase in export last year. This was stated by a researcher of Center for Policy Analysis Fisheries, Wahana, on Monday. He said the moratorium on permits issued to foreign fishing vessels in 2014 and 2015 had contributed to an increase in tuna export to U.S. last year, while neighboring Thailand and the Philippines saw decreases, citing latest data from the Marine Affairs and Fisheries Ministry on tuna fish export to U.S. Sona said that Indonesia's export book at 7.73% increase year-on-year from January to September 2015. While export from Thailand, the Philippines decreased 70.36% and 32.59% respectively. He added that the main markets for Indonesian fishery products were far away, such as Japan and the USA. Southeast Asian countries were export-oriented and did not import from each other. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo said one of the drivers behind the improvement was the narrowed deficit in the services transaction account from $34 billion by the end of 2014 to $31 billion in 2015. Furthermore, Governor Agus mentioned that in the second and third quarters of 2015, the income account surplus helped ease the current account deficit CAD. He also said that in the fourth quarter, it was more positive, supported by a loan from the government as well as global bonds and loans from the Asian Development Bank, ADB. In the third quarter of 2015, the balance of payments refilled at $1.2 billion surplus in the capital account, slight by almost a half from $2.2 billion surplus in the second quarter. Director of ASEAN Economic Cooperation, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ina Krisnamurti in Jakarta on Tuesday encouraged the importance of increasing awareness among Indonesian people to take benefit from the ASEAN Economic Community era of 2016. According to her, to be able to take benefit from it, Indonesian citizens must actively participate in and compete with other regional countries. She explained that the competitiveness should also be followed by development of human resources as well as support from every related party.
So I think awareness is key, and I see differences now. People are more aware of AEC more and more, especially the benefit to be part of it, to actively participate. Secondly, awareness of the competitiveness. Thirdly, people need to understand this is not an event. This is a process. It needs support. It needs continuous efforts during the process of integration, be it in the regional economic integration or global economic integration.
Ira Krisnamurti further stated that the benefit of ASEAN Economic Community era will not be experienced soon, but gradually up to 2025, on which ASEAN countries will enter the second term of ASEAN Economic Community. However, she also encouraged Indonesian citizens to increase competitiveness of domestic products among other ASEAN countries' products. The last item, Indonesia should not be proud of itself as a big country, especially in entering the ASEAN Economic Community 2016. Director of ASEAN Economic Cooperation at Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ina Krisnamurti, affirmed in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia should be able to compete in high-level competition, namely regarding goods production. She further urged Indonesia to strengthen domestic production quality, namely by focusing on added values of goods production. According to her, the added value plays important role to put Indonesian products to compete in high-level competition, regional and global.
Indonesia also not to be big-headed with this trend, because we also need to strengthen the production of manufacturing goods, because we still have to pursue the high-level competitiveness of our products. Well, basically what the structure of globalized economy, the demand for our national capacity is to have an added value production system. So the added value means we cannot have export on raw products only, but we need to have added value on all products that we manufacture.
Concerning Indonesian tourism potential, Ina Krisnamurti stated that Indonesian tourism sector has uniqueness that interests foreign tourists. According to her, the uniqueness is the potential that should be supported by infrastructure development as well as promotion effort, so it can play its role in increasing Indonesian economic development in the future. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on, is death penalty in Indonesia still relevant in 2016? The death penalty means a decision imposed by a court or sometimes without trial as a form of punishment to a person as a result of his actions. But according to some scientific studies, there is no convincing evidence that the death penalty makes a deterrent effect or is more effective than any other punishment. In Indonesia, a death sentence is imposed following the criminal code system, a legacy of the Dutch colonial time. Even during the New Order era, those executed were mostly political prisoners. The Second Amendment to the 45 Constitution, Article 281, Paragraph 1, states the rights of Indonesian citizens, among other things, the right to life, the right not to be tortured, the right of freedom of religion, and other rights related to human rights, but the law below it still lists the death penalty. In 2006, there were 11 legislations recorded which still allow the death penalty, namely the Law on Narcotics, Anti-Corruption, Anti-Terrorism Act, and those related to human rights courts of law. This list could be longer, with the Intelligence Bill and the State Secrecy Bill still being discussed in Parliament. As a matter of fact, death sentence has received support from the government and some communities in Indonesia. Research conducted in the Indonesian media in general showed 75% of the public expressed support for the death penalty. Currently, the criminal code draft concept prepared by the government is awaiting discussion in Parliament. It states that the execution of death row inmates are required to consider the waiting period to show a good attitude and actions indicated by the death row inmates. Many people expect the government to focus more on its constitutional obligations and the international commitments to respect the right to life guaranteed in the 1945 Constitution and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. It is known that the Indonesian government has executed 14 death row inmates in two phases in 2015. For 2016, the Attorney General will perform the execution again and has submitted a plan and preparation of the budget to Parliament. But until today, the date and names of people to be executed have not been determined. The question is whether in 2016 the implementation of the death penalty in Indonesia is still relevant. Is there already a deterrent effect thereof? Or will it just raise an outcry among the pros and the cons, each with its own argumentation? It also is necessary to bear in mind that the implementation of the death penalty in 2015 have also been disrupted Indonesian good relations, that the implementation of the death penalty in 2015 had also disrupted Indonesian good relations with countries whose citizens were sentenced to death due to their crime in this country and were executed. Anyway, all of them, of course, is up to the government and people of Indonesia themselves. As a sovereign nation, Indonesia has a legal system that cannot be interfered by other countries. However, as part of the international community, Indonesia also needs to consider the opinion of others. Well, that was commentary today on Is death penalty in Indonesia still relevant in 2016? I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events of this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with January the 12th, 1966, Tritura demonstration. After the abduction and killing of some military generals on September the 30th, 1965, political situation in Indonesia became heated. The Indonesian Communist Party, PKI, was accused behind the incident, and a wave of demonstration demanding the dissolution of the party was getting harder. The effect of uncertain political situation led to the economic situation became worse, marked with the price of basic needs continued to soar. Finally, on January the 12, 1966, anti-communist organization grouped under the Pancasila Front issued the three demands of the people, or Tritura, namely the dissolution of the Indonesian Communist Party, the cleansing of the cabinet of elements involved in September the 30th movement, and lower prices and economic improvements. The impact of the Tritura was on March 11, 1966, President Sukarno ordered Major General Suharto as the commander of the army to take the necessary action to restore security and order. Over now to 2010, an earthquake in Haiti occurs, killing over 100,000 people and destroying much of the capital, Port-au-Prince. The 2010 Haiti earthquake was a catastrophic magnitude 7 megawatts earthquake with an epicenter near the town of Quest Department, approximately 25 kilometers west of Port-au-Prince, Haiti's capital. The earthquake occurred at 16:53 local time on Tuesday and 12 January 2010. An estimated 3 million people were affected by the quake. Death toll estimates range from 100,000 to about 160,000 people. Last item is from 2006, a stampede during the stoning of the devil ritual on the last day of the Hajj pilgrimage in Mina, Saudi Arabia, kills at least 362 Muslim pilgrims. On January 12, 2006, a stampede during the stoning of the dead on the last day of the Hajj in Mina killed at least 346 pilgrims and injured at least 289 more, including those from Indonesia. The incident occurred shortly after 1 p.m. when a busload of travelers arrived together at the eastern access ramps of the Jamarat Bridge. This caused pilgrims to trip, rapidly resulting in a lethal stampede. An estimated 2 million people were performing the ritual at that time. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's theme is Indonesia and South Korea to begin production of sophisticated fighter jets soon. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The main tool system armament industries, or Alutsista, in Indonesia entered a new phase. Indonesia is working with South Korea to build sophisticated fighter jet named Indonesia Fighter Experimental or Korea Fighter Experimental, abbreviated IFX-KFX. The aircraft is claimed to have the ability of the F-16, equivalent to F-18 Super Hornet and Eurofighter Typhoon. Indonesian Defense Minister Yamirza Triakudu, along with Minister of Defense Acquisition Program Administration of the Republic of Korea, Chang Myung-jin, recently signed a contract agreement to share the cost of making IFX-KFX prototypes. It was the second phase of the engineering and manufacturing development. Thus, the project of the 4.5 generation advanced fighter aircraft has entered the stage of prototype production. According to plan, the manufacture of IFX-KFX will be made in 5 units. 4 units will be built in South Korea while the rest in Indonesia. Overall, the manufacture of prototypes will involve Indonesian and South Korean engineers. Meanwhile, the two sides also signed a contract work assignment agreement represented by the President Director of PT Dirgantara Indonesia, Budi Santoso, and President and CEO of Korea Aerospace Industry Limited, Mr. Ha Sung-yong. Defense Minister Yamirza Triakudu said this cooperation is improving the quality of good relations between the two countries while enhancing the ability of domestic industry in procuring defense equipment independently. According to him, the budget for developing the fighter aircraft was prepared jointly. Of the cost of the project, which is $8 billion, Indonesia issued a budget of around 18 trillion rupiahs, or about 20% of the total budget of aircraft manufacturing, while South Korea issued 80% of the total cost. President Director of PT Dirgantara Indonesia, Budi Santoso, said, although the Indonesian government spends only 20% for the shared development, but for all the knowledge development of this aircraft, Indonesia will receive 100%. Budi Santoso explained he has sent 300 employees to learn the development of the KFX-IFX to South Korea for 3 to 4 years. Later, after they master it, then they will make the plane. Defense Minister Yamirza Triakudu said only 20% of those involved in the aircraft manufacturing in the first unit, while in the second unit, the number will be increased to 50% and carried out in South Korea. While One aircraft KFX and IFX will be made in Indonesia will involve Indonesian human resources up to 80%. The Indonesian government had already set up the infrastructure to assemble the aircraft KFX and IFX in Indonesia by making a hangar at PTDI. It is also hoped that in the next 10 years, Indonesia will be able to create its own fighter planes, so as not always import them from other countries. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, Tantowi Yahya, is of the opinion that the cooperation has a strategic value for the Indonesian defense system and economy. On the one hand, this advanced fighter aircraft intended for the development of aerospace power of the two countries. On the other hand, Indonesia later may also be able to sell the aircraft. The specification matches with Indonesia because it is made in accordance with the needs of Indonesia and South Korea. Well, that was focused today on the Indonesia and South Korea to begin production of sophisticated fighter jets soon.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, January 12, 2016. We begin with Kompas, which wrote, "Regions won't change." Despite of low number, the young or female candidates have bigger potential to win in the simultaneous regional election held on December 9, 2015. This becomes the early indicator that the people want alternative leader and changes. Listener, we continue with Media Indonesia. PDIP prepares for options. The willingness of the Indonesia Democratic Party of Struggle, or PDIP, to make the state policy to achieve the Universal Plan National Development, or PNSB, is serious. The party led by Megawati Soekarnoputri prepared for options. This was conveyed by the Steering Committee Secretary of PDIP First National Working Meeting, Ahmad Basarah, in Jakarta on Monday. The option includes amending the 1945 Constitution of Indonesia and Law No. 17-2014 on People's Consultative Assembly or MPR, House of Representatives or DPR, Regional Representative Council or DPD, and Regional Legislative Council or DPRD. Meanwhile, Republika in its headline wrote, "Yusuf Kalla, development is planned." Comment by the leader of PDIP, Megawati Soekarnoputri, on the need of development plan was responded by the Vice President, Yusuf Kalla. According to Yusuf Kalla, the government had implemented the plan development. Related to the Megawati's suggestion to return the authority of making the state policy guidelines or GBHN to the People's Consultative Assembly or MPR, Yusuf Kalla said, "It depends on the House, because constitutional amendment is required." We end today's headline with Sindo, "Government chases individual taxpayer." The government will chase individual taxpayers as a strategy to increase the tax revenue this year. The obedience of the individual taxpayers is still low, hence the tax revenue this year is still very big. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The House of the Representatives, DPR, will strive to improve its legislative work in 2016 to win back public trust. The government will refuse this year's tax revenue target after 2015's realization reached less than 82% of expectation despite reform from the taxation office. Finance Minister Bambu Brojonegoro said that this year's tax revenue should grow by more than 10% of last year's realization. Indonesian fishermen should take advantage of surplus of fish that will occur in the surrounding ocean this year because of La Nina effect by sending larger fishing ships. Indonesia needs to maintain the momentum in fishery export as it is strict measure against illegal fishing contributed to an increase in export last year. This was stated by researcher of Center for Policy Analysis Fisheries Wana on Monday. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo said one of the drivers behind the improvement was the narrow deficit in the services transaction account, from $34 billion by the end of 2014 to $31 billion in 2015. Director of ASEAN Economic Cooperation at Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ina Krisdamurti, in Jakarta on Tuesday, encouraged the importance of increasing awareness among Indonesian people to take benefit from the ASEAN Economic Community era of 2015. Indonesia should be proud of itself as a big country, especially in entering the ASEAN Economic Community 2016. Director of ASEAN Economic Cooperation at Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ina Krisdamurti, affirmed in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia should be able to compete in high-level competition, namely regarding goods production. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello there, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesia Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across the country. In today's edition, I'll invite you to Yogyakarta province, so stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Department of Culture and Tourism of Bantul in Yogyakarta recorded 2.58 million tourists from various regions visited various local attractions during 2015, thus contributing 11.15 billion rupiahs to the local revenue. Most tourists visited seven destinations along the southern coast in Bantul, namely Parangtritis, Depok Beach, Pantai Baru, Samas Beach, Guacemara Beach, and Kuaru Beach. While other tourist attractions are caves like Cermi Cave in Selo Pamioro, Imogiri, and Selarong Cave in Pajangan. From seven tourist destinations most visited by tourists in Bantul, I invite you to know one of them, that is Pantai Baru. The beach is classified as the youngest in the region of Yogyakarta. Located in the Ngentak village, Poncosari, Serandaan, access to the beach is relatively easy. From the town of Bantul, it only takes about 30 minutes, but from the city center, it takes about 1 to 2 hours. To get into this tourist area, you have to pay admission fee of 5,000 rupiahs per person and parking ticket of 2,000 rupiah per vehicle. To enjoy the beauty of Pantai Baru, from the parking area you have to walk approximately 400 meters, passing a variety of food stalls. Then in the next 100 meters you will pass through thick pine trees that make the atmosphere of the beach not so hot during the day. The beach has a length of approximately 4,000 meters. It is a shady beach, wide and sloping. The waves are pretty here, but you must be careful when swimming or playing in the water on the edge shores. In tourist areas, there are spiritual attractions such as Petilasan, recluse place of Ngayu Jokarto Hadiningrat Family Palace, which are still well maintained. You could well see the Petilasan while on holiday in Pantai Baru. Pantai Baru was much visited by tourists, especially when the Roulette National Competition event was held every year. In addition, interestingly, there is also a pilot model of regional innovation system in the form of solar power generation or solar cell and windmills. This hybrid power plant can be regarded as the only one in Yogyakarta. Pantai Baru continues to be developed as a nature tourism, technology-based education, and windmill that is the powerhouse, as well as an agro-tourism and fisheries by having an amount of as much as 10, and there are also cages with 150 farms consisting of groups of fishermen numbering about 96 people. As a leading tourist attraction in Bantul, the existing facilities at Pantai Baru is already very complete. There are many seafood stalls, bathroom, toilet, spacing, parking area, mosque, and there is also a rent ATV. You can rent an ATV to travel around the coast. The rent is cheap at 30,000 rupiah for 50 minutes. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic of Pantai Baru. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is ke salon kecantikan or to the beauty salon. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Salon kecantikan. Salon kecantikan. Beauty salon. Rencana. Rencana. Plan. Mencuci rambut. Mencuci rambut. To wash one's hair. Mewarnai rambut. Mewarnai rambut. To color one's hair. Rambut. Rambut. Hair. Panjang, panjang, long, pendek, pendek, short, segar, segar, fresh, muda, muda, young, lebih muda, younger, perawatan kaki, pedicure, perawatan tangan, manicure, baru, baru, new, tahun baru, New Year. Penampilan baru, New Look. Semangat baru, New Spirit. Next is a conversation on ke salon kecantikan or in English to the beauty salon. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Nancy at the office. Nancy, apa rencanamu di akhir pekan? Nancy, apa rencanamu di akhir pekan? In English, Nancy, what's your plan on the weekend? Kalau tidak ada acara, bagaimana kalau kita ke salon kecantikan? Kalau tidak ada acara, bagaimana kalau kita ke salon kecantikan? If you have no plan, how about going to the beauty salon? Oh, saya setuju sekali. Oh, saya setuju sekali. Oh, I agree with you. Saya mau mencuci rambut. Saya mau mencuci rambut. I want to have my hair washed. Memotong rambut dan mewarnai rambut. Salah. Saya mau mencuci rambut, memotong rambut, dan mewarnai rambut. Saya mau mencuci rambut, memotong rambut, dan mewarnai rambut. I want to have my hair washed, cut, and colored. Ya, saya juga ingin potong rambut. Ya, saya juga ingin potong rambut. Yes, I also want to have my hair cut. Rambut saya sudah panjang. Rambut saya sudah panjang. My hair has grown long. Saya ingin mempunyai rambut pendek. Saya ingin mempunyai rambut pendek. I want to have a short hair. Supaya tampak segar dan lebih muda. Supaya tampak segar dan lebih muda. So as to look fresh and younger. Selain itu, saya juga ingin perawatan kaki dan tangan. Selain itu, saya juga ingin perawatan kaki dan tangan. Besides, I also need some pedicure and manicure. Ya, tahun baru, penampilan baru. Ya, tahun baru, penampilan baru. Yes, new year, new look. Semangat juga harus baru. Semangat juga harus baru. The spirit must also be new. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a regular segment which introduces Indonesian music, both traditional and in modern ones. In today's edition, I'll be presenting Chris Patih Group Band from the pop music industry in Indonesia. Let's listen to the first song by Chris Patih entitled Ada Aku Di Sini or I Am Here. Trispati Group Band was established on the 21st of April 2003 on the initiative of four students of Indonesian Musicians Institute, namely Arif, Badai, Andika, and Anton. Initially, they formed an instrumental band with ethnic songs which they composed in a new musical arrangement. Their first performance was in the Farabi Music School Sunday Show on April 22, 2003. Then they recruited Sami, another student on the campus who is one of the top 30 finalists of Indonesian Idol 1 in 2004 as a vocalist. In 2005, they released their debut album entitled Telah Tiada or It's Gone. The album got a Platinum Award in 2006. Before telling you more about Trispati, let's listen to another song entitled Telah Menyesal or Regret It.
Gue nyesel banget waktu zamannya nyokap gue nyekolahin gue main-main sekolahnya.
Gue nyesel banget karena gue doa kurang lama buat adik gue yang meninggal waktu itu.
Tak pernah kusangkali kehilafanku yang kini membuatmu jauh. Terlambat aku membuat kau mengerti hati ini telah menyesal. Sungguh ku mohon untuk kesekian kali, maafkan dan terima ku kembali. Demi cinta ku bersumpah, biar bumi menyaksikannya semua yang telah terjadi. Tak akan ku ulang lagi. Kamu nyawa di jiwaku, separuh nafas di cintaku. Tan ku akui, ku hanya bisa
rasain gimana rasanya kerja, cari duit capek-capek, terus gak dihargai.
Padahal gue harapin, kalau gue doa bisa lebih lama, ya bisa dihidupin lagi sama Tuhan.
Kalau misalnya orang itu ngasih gue kesempatan lagi untuk memperbaiki semuanya, gue pasti akan minta maaf sama dia dan gue akan lebih care lagi sama dia.
Untuk kesekian kali, mohon terima. Aku
Gue nyesel dulu gue pernah ngecewain nyokap gue. Gue nyesel banget dan sekarang gue berharap gue bisa nyenengin nyokap gue deh sampai akhir hayat gue.
Penyesalan gue akhir-akhir ini gue mengecewakan orang tua. Dikasih kepercayaan gue tidak menghargai kepercayaan. Gue berharap sih ke depan gue bisa memperbaiki itu dan membalas kepercayaan mereka.
Penyesalan gue adalah tidak bisa menemani ibu saya ketika hari-hari terakhir di rumah sakit karena kesibukan saya. Jadi pesan saya buat di luar sana untuk selalu hubungi orang tua kalian selagi sempat.
Gue banyak momen lewati bersama istri gue, tapi ada satu yang gue bisa, yaitu menyepelekan tentang bunga. Dari kejadian itu ada pesan satu dari istri gue. Kamu kasih bunga tuh jangan hanya sama tinggal, bisa-bisa orang yang masih hidup. Sayangilah istri dan mama kamu, kalau bisa kamu kasih bunga, karena bunga itu untuk orang hidup juga, bukan hanya tinggal. Dan itu mereka masih bisa merasakan.
Ya, penyesalan gue adalah dulu gue pernah berantem sama bokap gue, pernah ngelawan bokap gue, dan akhirnya gue ingat banget gue minta maaf sama bokap gue waktu bokap gue stroke di rumah sakit. Gue gak bisa ngomong tapi hanya meneteskan air mata. Kalau gue bisa mengulang waktu, gue akan membahagiakan dua orang tua gue. Jadi berbahagialah kalian yang masih punya orang tua.
Tak akan ku ulang lagi. Kamu nyawa di jiwaku.
In 2015, precisely on the 24th of April, Kerispati Group Band celebrated its 12th anniversary with their fans while releasing a video clip of their new single Telah Tiada or It's Gone. On December the 27th in the same year, Kerispati took part in the launching of the Asian Games 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang, and also Asian Games mascot in South Plaza Bung Karno Stadium. The pop music group sang 5 of their popular songs, namely Aku Harus Jujur, I Must Be Honest, Tapi Bukan Aku, It's Not, It Wasn't Me, Sepanjang Usia, In My Age, Bila Rasaku Ini Rasamu, If My Feeling Is Your Feeling, and Tertatih, All Stumbling. The new vocalist, Sami, was not with the band anymore. Fandi stepped down the stage to invite the audience to sing together when singing one of their hits, Tertatih or Stumbling. Well, listeners, to conclude Music Corner today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Demi Cinta or For Love and Kawan or Friend by Kerispati Group Band.
Maaf, ku telah menyakitimu. Ku telah kecewakanmu. Bahkan sia-siakan hidupku dan ku bawa kau seperti diriku. Walau hati ini terus menangis menahan kesakitan ini, tapi kulakukan semua demi cinta. Akhirnya juga harus ku relakan kehilangan cinta sejatiku. Juga semua kekuranganku. Jika memang ini yang terbaik untuk diriku dan dirinya, kan ku terima semua demi cinta. Terakhir ku dengan tanganmu, namun yang cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.